hills and failed. And still I knew that this was that Rome of majesty toward which all roads are bent, and I felt awe and deep respect for the works of our bygone fathers. We rested by the long straight road, looking up at Rome. I said, "It is a goodly city. We will find employment there." Beside me, Avluella fluttered her lacy wings.
"And food?" she asked in her high fluty voice. "And shelter? And wine?"
"Those two," I said. "All of those."
"How long have we been walking, Watcher?"
she asked. "2 days, 3 nights."
"If I had been flying, it would have been more swift."
"For you," I said. "You would have left us far behind and never seen us again. Is that your desire?" She came close to me and rubbed the rough fabric of my sleeve, and then she pressed herself at me the way a flirting cat might do. Her wings unfolded into 2 broad sheets of gossamer, through which I could still see the sunset and the evening lights, blurred, distorted, magical. I sensed the fragrance of her midnight hair. I put my arms to her and embraced her slender, boyish body. She said,
"You know it is my desire to remain with you always, Watcher. Always."
"Yes, Avluella."
"Will we be happy in Rome?"
"We will be happy," I said, and released her.
"Shall we go into Rome now?"
"I think we should wait for Gorman," I said, shaking my head. "He'll be back soon from his explorations." I did not want to tell her of my weariness. She was only a child, 17 summers old. What did she know of weariness or of age? And I was old. Not as old as Rome, but old enough.
"While we wait," she said, "may I fly?"
"Fly, yes." I squatted beside our cart and warmed my hands at the throbbing generator while Avluella prepared to fly. First she removed her garments, for her wings have little strength and she cannot lift such extra baggage. Lithely, deftly, she peeled the glassy bubbles from her tiny feet and wriggled free of her crimson jacket and of her soft, furry leggings. The vanishing light in the west sparkled over her slim form. Like all flyers, she carried no surplus body tissue. Her breasts were mere bumps, her buttocks flat, her thighs so spindly that there was a span of inches between them when she stood. Could she have weighed more than a quintal? I doubt it. Looking at her, I felt, as always, gross and earthbound, a thing of loathsome flesh. And yet I am not a heavy man. By the roadside she genuflected, knuckles to the ground, head bowed to knees, as she said whatever ritual it is that the flyers say. Her back was to me. Her delicate wings fluttered, filled with life, rose about her like a cloak whipped up by the breeze. I could not comprehend how such wings could possibly lift even so slight a form as Avluella's. They were not hawk wings, but butterfly wings, veined and transparent, marked here and there with blotches of pigment, ebony and turquoise and scarlet. A sturdy ligament joined them to the 2 flat pads of muscle beneath her sharp shoulder blades. But what she did not have was the massive breastbone of a flying creature, the bands of corded muscle needed for flight. Oh, I know that the flyers use more than muscle to get aloft, that there are mystical disciplines in their mystery. Even so, I, who was of the Watchers, remained skeptical of the more fantastic guilds. Avluella finished her words. She rose. She caught the breeze with her wings. She ascended several feet. There she remained, suspended between earth and sky while her wings beat frantically. It was not yet night, and Avluella's wings were merely night wings. By day she could not fly, for the terrible pressure of the solar wind would hurl her to the ground. Now, midway between dusk and dark, it was still not the best time for her to go up. I saw her thrust toward the east by the remnant of light in the sky. Her arms, as well as her wings, thrashed. Her small pointed face was grim with concentration.